The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. Again, Jesus left the district of Tyre and went by way of Sidon to the Sea of Galilee, into the district of the Decapolis. And people brought to him a deaf man who had a speech impediment, and begged him to lay his hand on him. He took him off by himself, away from the crowd. He put his finger into the man's ears, and spitting, he touched his tongue. And then he looked up to heaven and groaned and said, "Ephphatha," which means "be opened." And immediately the man's ears were opened, his speech impediment, and he spoke plainly. He ordered them not to tell anyone, but the more he ordered them not to, the more they proclaimed it. They were exceedingly astonished, and they said to one another, "He has done all things well. He makes the deaf hear and the mute speak." The Gospel of the Lord. This gospel reading, which comes from the book of Mark, has a teaching which fits into the journey of everyday life. So let me look at this. It appears only in the Gospel of Mark. There's no mention of this in the other three Gospels. This moment in the Decapolis, where Jesus heals this man who is deaf and has a speech impediment. The gospel begins by telling us he's at Tyre. Tyre and Sidon are in present-day Lebanon. In the time of Jesus, that was Gentile territory. And if you look earlier in the same chapter in Mark, in chapter 7, Jesus heals the child of a Syrophoenician woman, a Greek woman, a Gentile. He heals her child, and this will be his second miracle in Gentile territory, which is called the Decapolis. What's interesting about this is that Mark, when he says he goes from Tyre, which is in Lebanon, to the area of the Decapolis, which is near the Sea of Galilee. It's east of the Sea of Galilee. But interestingly, he said he goes through Sidon. Geographically, that's difficult to reconcile, unless something special happened in Sidon that he doesn't mention. It would be as if we say we're going from South Pasadena to Newport Beach and we go through Santa Monica. Since Sidon was 20 miles north of Tyre. And to get to the Sea of Galilee, you go south. So that's interesting. Scholars debate about exactly what that means, but it's of interest to us when we look at the exegesis of this story. When he goes to the Decapolis, it means 10 cities. The Greek word for a city is polis. Decapolis means 10 cities. They're east of the Sea of Galilee in present-day Syria and in Jordan. We're not sure exactly the names of the 10, but that's where they are. They're Gentile territory. Polis means a town or a city. Also, it means the administration. It gives us an English word, politics, or politicians, comes from that root, polis. And by the way, some of you have been to Athens. When you went to the Acropolis, polis on a hill. And there you saw this stunning temple dedicated to the goddess Athena, built 400 years before Christ, the Parthenon. That's polis. And Jesus goes into this area, which is Gentile, and they bring to him this man. Now, there's no suggestion that the man himself had any faith in Jesus. There's no suggestion that he merited a healing. Merit wasn't an issue. Need was the issue. He needed a healing. Merit was never an issue. It was never an issue in any of Jesus' healings. The need defined the response of Jesus. He takes him aside, interestingly, and he touches him. Now, that's important because when Jesus touches the man who is afflicted with this impediment, he breaks the Mosaic law. You are not allowed to do that. But clearly, the law is less important than the response of Jesus to somebody who is in crisis or in need. That's worth keeping in mind. That's the background on this event narrated in chapter 7 in Mark's Gospel. What's the teaching? The teaching has to do with humanity. We meet Christ in our humanity. We need Christ in our brokenness. That's where we meet Christ. That's difficult for us to understand. Because in our culture, and maybe in our church or in our families, we have very little value for failure, our imperfection, our human weakness. We don't try to understand humanity. We try to conquer humanity. And therefore, somehow, we tend to make judgments about humanity. We tend to dismiss humanity. Instead of understanding humanity, we judge it and we set humanity aside. We're all striving for perfection. In our families, we honor achievement and excellence. We honor success in the church, in our culture. We honor what's big and powerful and successful. We pay tribute to people who are wealthy. We honor those in positions of power. We're given to this ethic of supremacy. Weakness must not be part of our culture. We're embarrassed by weakness, and yet it's only in weakness that we will meet Jesus Christ. It's only in our poverty that we will experience the Lord. In the spiritual exercises of Ignatius, the first foundation and first principle is you must face your humanity. You must accept your humanity. That's the place of grace, and that's the place where you will meet Jesus Christ. There's an invitation here to honor the dignity of being human. People who are transparently human are very impressive. They're very impressive to me because they're like me. I can relate to people who are human. You know, we airbrush the lives of saints. Oh, there was no imperfection in this saint. There was no sin in this saint's life. It's unreal. That's not where you meet Jesus Christ. You meet Jesus Christ in your humanity. How does this appear to us in everyday life? I have a good friend, his name is Joseph. Joseph is a distinguished professor, a person of extraordinary intellect. He's also a man of great faith. And his prayer is you must stand in the moment in which you find yourself. Don't run away, don't deny, you must stand in the moment. He's a man of great peace. His soul is peaceful. He's on hospice, anticipating his death, and he's totally peaceful. God meets me in the place I find myself. Not where I might be, where I should be, where I ought to be, where perfection said I ought to strive to be, but in my humanity, that's where I meet Jesus Christ. What does this mean to us in our families, in our churches? We celebrate power, the size of a parish, how much money a parish is, how successful, how impressive. That's to somehow avoid a confrontation with the brokenness and the humanity found in each and every one of us, found in our country, in our culture, found in our churches, in our families, and found within ourselves. Ignatius will say, until you confront and own your own humanity, you cannot begin the spiritual journey. It's amazing. It's such a contradiction to everything we preach. Therefore, to our church, we say, come to the Lord, the blind, the sick, the lame, the deaf. Come to the church, those who are sinners, those who are struggling in life. Come to this church, those who feel left out, discriminated, those who are unworthy. Come, belong to Jesus Christ. Only in this condition will you experience the forgiving, healing, infinite love of Jesus Christ. You won't earn it. You won't earn it. You won't merit this. It's a gift. It's a touch. It's not law that Jesus observes. It's relationship that he teaches us. It's the touch of healing. It's the touch of belonging. It's the touch of welcome. That's the meaning of this gospel. It's a marvelous invitation to celebrate God's presence in our humanity, as Joseph would say, to live in the moment wherever you are in your life. That's why it might be difficult for somebody who is supremely successful, who has everything, who seems invincible. Maybe a young person who says, well, I really don't need healing. I'm not a broken person. I'm in charge of my life. I've heard that many times, dealing with the virus or the mask. Say, oh no, I won't get sick. I'm conquer the world. Face your humanity. It's the only place in which you can find Jesus Christ in human experience. Not only that, but understand, now that you have faced your own humanity, it's not how big we are. It's not how strong we are. It's not how successful or popular we are. It's how deep we are. But frequently, we don't want to go deep, because when we go deep, we discover our limitations, our struggles, our humanity. That's difficult sometimes to face. My need to be forgiven, God. My need to be understood. My need to be loved, my need to belong, my need to be accepted, all part of the beauty and the wonder of being human. Years and years ago, I read a book by this Jesuit fellow, and the title was, Why Am I Afraid to Tell You I Love You? Because when I tell you I love you, I'm vulnerable. What happens if you don't tell me back that you love me? Why is it difficult to say, I love you? I think we find it more difficult because we're Marines, we're invincible, we're the Trojan people, you know, we're conquerors, we're in charge of the world. To say, I love you, I need you, forgive me, understand me, accept me in my humanity. Wow, the beauty of being human. That's why we say here at Holy Family, all are welcome, for heaven's sake. All are welcome. It's not a place of perfection. It's a place where holiness is experienced in our humanity. That's the teaching of this gospel. The man didn't merit this, he didn't earn it, he didn't deserve it. He needed it. And Jesus healed him. And he never heard from him again. He doesn't ever appear again. He was lifted up, he was made whole. If you're familiar with Leonard Cohen, an extraordinary genius who died in Los Angeles here in 2016. He was a good age for a man who lived a pretty wild life. His life, if you read his life, it was full of death and resurrection, failure and recovery, struggles and emerging marvelously in the last passage of his life. And his testimony, probably the tribute to who he was, comes in his great and popular anthem. The anthem says, "Ring the bells that still can ring. Forget the perfect offering. There's a crack in everything. That's how the light gets in." Of course, that's how the light gets in. That's how the grace of God gets into our lives. There's a crack in everything. That's how the light gets in. And of course, therefore, our prayer and our proclamation must be, all are welcome. The blind, the lame, the sinners, the unworthy, the struggling, the uncertain, those who are in doubt, those who wonder and question. There's a crack in everything. But that's how the light gets in. That's how the grace of God touches us. And finally, in speaking with Joseph, my friend, I come to understand that prayer is not something you do. Now, I say the rosary and I do prayer like that, but that's the prayer. That's not the essential prayer. In the theology of prayer, prayer must begin by listening. So we begin Mass by saying, pause for a moment of prayer. Place yourself in God's presence. Become conscious of God's presence. Become conscious of God's presence. And therefore, prayer is your response to God's presence. Become conscious of God's healing, the strength of God's grace in your life. And then your prayer is a response. There is no authentic prayer unless it comes from a condition of prayerfulness. And this comes when we are humble, when we look at ourselves, when we see our needs and our struggles, and we see the poverty of who we are. We are sinners in need of forgiveness, in need of healing. We need to experience the infinite and wondrous acceptance and love of God revealed in Jesus Christ. Isn't that wonderful? I mean, it makes the church come alive. Don't airbrush your life when you come into God's presence. Celebrate your humanity. In that way, you will understand Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior.